The reading is taken from Revelation chapter 21, and we're beginning at verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve them. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I made lots of new friends.
I wanted to stay forever.
Can I be a tiger?
There was loads to do, even for Dad.
We did everything we wanted, and so did Mum.
Enjoy an Easter break from only £139 for the whole family at Haven, where great family holidays are made. Call 0800 20 30 40 or book online.
My best holiday in the world.
Looks exciting, doesn't it? You can do whatever you want. There are things for everyone to do. And even Dad had a good time. You heard it from that kid's mouth. He wanted to stay there forever. Maybe heaven really is a place on earth, as the song says. Well, I think the reality of staying in a caravan is slightly different to what was advertised. But I'm sure all of us are tempted to think heaven is a place on earth. It might not look like a caravan holiday for you, but maybe there's a holiday you've been on. Maybe there's a retirement you're looking forward to. Maybe you're enjoying life now in a big house with lots of treasures. And you might enjoy these things and think, is heaven going to be as good as this? Can it get any better than this? Will it just lead me to disappointment? Or maybe you've got your hopes up about something before. Maybe you've been excited by a new job, by a new relationship, by a retirement. And it's left you disappointed and feeling like there's no hope in your life. Well, this evening, we are going to go on a tour of the new creation. And we're going to hear about a place that God promises to his people that will be their ultimate life. And I pray that as we take a look around the new creation together, that we will see that these things on earth that we put our hope in are absolutely nothing compared to what we have to look forward to. So let us pray before we take a look. Lord God, we thank you again for the certain hope that you have given to us. We thank you that death has been defeated. Please, by your Holy Spirit, help us now to engage our hearts. Please excite us and help us to long for nothing else but you. Amen. Okay, so let's begin our tour. Stop one on the tour is the city. We're going to look at the city. So look with me at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The city, it sat on top of a mountain, and it shone with the glory of God. And its brilliance, its radiance, its splendor is like that of a very precious jewel. And it has a great high wall in verse 12, did you see that? With 12 gates and 12 angels at each of the gates. And the angel measures it with a rod of gold in verse 15. And it's 12,000 stadia. That's about 1,500 miles. For reference, London covers around 607 miles. This city is massive. And the wall around it is 144 cubits thick in verse 17. Made of jasper, pure gold, and pure glass. The walls are decorated with every kind of precious stone. Kathy had lots of precious stones to read out, didn't she? And then the 12 gates around the wall, they were made with 12 pearls. Now, if you've seen a pearl, they're really small and very precious. Imagine a pearl so big you could make an entire gate out of it. This city's extraordinary. It's unimaginable, it's beautiful, extravagant. It's on a scale like nothing any of us have ever seen. But this vision of the new creation, it's not a literal description of a building. Revelation is apocalyptic literature. That means that this is a picture of something extremely precious, of something magnificent, of something glorious, of something on a huge scale. It's a picture, Christian, of you. It's a picture of me. It's a picture of us. You see, this city, which is glorious, holy, beautiful, it's us. We thought last week, didn't we, about how we are like a bride dressed beautifully for her husband. Well, here, we are described as a holy city. And in verse 12, we see on the gates the 12 tribes of Israel. And in verse 14, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. See, both the people of God in the Old Testament and the people of God in the New Testament are all included. The people of God in the past, present, and future are all included here. It says Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Paul, Peter, Priscilla, Aquila, Nick, Kathy, Callum, Jess, Daniel, all of us Christians here today, we are all included in this holy city. You see, you don't have to be clever to be in this new city. You don't have to have been from a certain type of place. You don't have to have gone to a certain type of school, have a certain amount of money to be included in this kingdom. To be included in this kingdom, all you have to do is repent and believe. Turn to Jesus and trust in him. And when Jesus comes back, when we as brothers and sisters are joined together, we will be beautiful. We will shine like the glory of God. Our brilliance will be like that of a precious jewel. We will be made perfect. Did you notice at the end of verse 21 that even the street was of gold and as pure as transparent glass? Imagine if our floor here or the street outside was made of transparent glass and gold. It wouldn't take long for it to get dirty, would it? No, in the new creation, even our feet will be made clean. We will be made clean. We're aware now of our sin, aren't we? We're aware that we aren't like this beautiful description now. We're not always beautiful. We might look at it on the outside, but if people really saw into our hearts, we'd be deeply ashamed. But when we're together in the new creation, we will be precious, shiny, and glorious. This is only possible. This can only happen because of what Jesus has done at the cross. God will make his people holy. So as we spend time together as an eternal family, as we gather together here at church, in our growth groups, or over the dinner table, let's treat each other like an eternal family. We must persevere in loving each other. Now, in the week, usually I don't drink tea or coffee at 7:30 at night. But here we do that, don't we? Not because we like tea or coffee, but because we want to spend time together. We want to invest in each other's lives. And we want to spend time together, not just on Sundays, but in the week as well. We want to show hospitality to each other. You might be the world's worst cook. You can share a pizza with a brother or sister, play a board game, drink tea or coffee, go out. We want to share our lives with each other. And it is really hard work loving our brothers and sisters. But we are an eternal family. Let's persevere in loving one another. Let's keep forgiving one another. Let's put one another's needs before our own, remembering that we will all be made perfect on that day as we join together as the holy city. Well, our first stop on the tour was the city. Moving on to our second stop is the temple. And here is a picture of a temple on the screen. We should have it on the next slide. Is that... No... Was verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city. Okay. Sorry to cause you a panic, Adam. Sorry. There is no temple. So, seems a bit of a shame, actually, that there's no temple. In the Old Testament, the temple is where the people were able to meet with God and make an offering for their sins. But here there's no temple. Why is this? Verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. See, God will dwell with his holy people. We see through the Bible that God loves to be with his people, but his people aren't holy like he is. So they can't be together. They must be separated. And in the Old Testament temple in Jerusalem, there was this cube-shaped space in the middle of the temple called the Holy of Holies. And nobody was allowed in there because that's where God was, apart from a priest once a year could go in on behalf of the people. Well, mathematicians amongst us might have noticed that this city described is a cube. Did you see that? Look at verse 16. It's described as being laid out like a square, as long as it is wide, and as wide and high as it is long. It's a cube, because it's the new Holy of Holies. The entire city will be the Holy of Holies. God will be in the midst of his people. We will be able to live with God. Isn't that amazing? And look at verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. God will outshine the sun. There'll be no need for the sun because of God's glory. It will shine everywhere. We will all live in harmony by the light of God's glory. Now, I wonder if you've heard of Fort Knox. It's a depository in America, and in there is over half of America's gold reserves. And because what's in there is so valuable, there are extreme security measures in place. Why don't we have a look at the security measures in place in the new creation? Verse 25, on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Imagine that. Imagine a city filled with priceless jewels, more than you've ever seen, and the doors are left open. You see, there'll be no time of darkness where burglars can sneak in and steal from the city. No evil will be done away with. The devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. And we will have no need to steal, because we will be perfectly satisfied by God himself. We find it hard to find satisfaction now, don't we? We look for it everywhere, in places that more often than not just disappoint. You see, we all have a longing in our heart for something. We all have a voice that says, if only I could have a bigger house that I could own. If only I could have a bigger family. If only I could have more money in my bank account. If only I could be in that place rather than this place. If only I could be married to that person. If only I could have whatever it is, then I will be happy. Then I will know God loves me. Then I will be satisfied. Friends, this is what the world tells us. In fact, companies spend endless amounts of money on advertising to get us to believe this. It's reported that McDonald's spent $445 million on advertising just last year. And they do that because they want you to buy into this false dream of satisfaction here on earth. But please, don't buy into it. There is nothing on this planet, nothing on this earth that is going to bring you true satisfaction other than Jesus. We have so many options of what to live for, don't we? So many choices of how to live. And we can live for these earthly things. We can try and spend all of our time and money on getting ourselves a nice house, a nice car, a nice family, a nice retirement. Or we can spend all our energy on living for Jesus. Verse 27 says more about who will be in this city. It says, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, this is a city where there'll be no impurity, no shameful or deceitful acts. And here on earth, we can be shameful or deceitful sometimes, can't we? But as Christians, we know that if we've put our trust in Jesus, then our sin and shame is placed on Jesus at the cross, because he died as our lamb. It's only because of Jesus that we can be citizens of this city. It's only because of God that our name is written in the book of life. But we can be so tempted to forsake Jesus for these other things. But please, don't leave Jesus. Put your trust in him and live for him only, because it's only him who can give you true satisfaction. It's only him who's going to give you an eternal future living with God. Keep on living for Jesus, knowing that it's only him who will ever satisfy our longing. Later in Revelation 22, in verse 15, we're told that there is an outside to the city. There will be people whose names are not written in the book of life. There will be people who do not dwell with God, but face the punishment that we deserve. And if that's you, if you are here and you're not trusting in Jesus as the Lamb who died for you, then please turn to him. He will accept you in with open arms. Turn to him before it's too late. Well, we've seen the city and the temple. Our third and final stop on this tour of the new creation is the garden. Let's look at chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. You might remember right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, the land was cursed, wasn't it? Relationships became strained and broken. People had to work hard for their own food, people would die as well. Death came in, all because of sin. That's what a world rejecting God looks like. Yet here in Revelation 22, we see a restoration of the garden, or a transformation of the garden. The tree of life is back, and it's bearing fruit every month. The tree provides healing for the nations. And look at the river of the water of life. It flows from God. God gives us everlasting, satisfying life. The curse has been reversed. God has lifted the curse. Well, how is this possible? How can God take this curse away? Well, we know that we deserve the curse, don't we? As we don't live holy lives as God commands. Yet Jesus himself became the curse for us. He became a curse on the cross, forsaken by God and rejected by his own people. Suffering more than we can possibly imagine, so that you can be included in this city, so that you can drink from this river of life, so that you can live with God for eternity. You see, it could be so tempting for us to read the end of Revelation and think that we have to work really hard to stay in God's good books. Maybe if we don't work hard enough, God will rub our name out of the book of life, we might think. But that's not true. You see, all we need to do is turn to Jesus and repent. Turn to him in repentance and faith. We need to trust that Jesus has taken the curse for us so that we can receive eternal life with God. That's what we celebrated at Easter. We celebrated that Jesus has defeated death so that we may have a certain future that looks like this. And when we understand what our ultimate life looks like, or we stop living for this life, which is just going to fade away, and we start living for our eternal ultimate life, which will never fade away. So maybe you've been enjoying your bank holiday weekend this weekend, thinking that heaven is a place on earth. Well, please don't long for other things. Long for Jesus. Long for the eternal hope that we have in him. Or maybe you're here and you feel without hope today. Maybe you feel in despair today and without hope. But there is real hope. You can have real hope now in what Jesus has done for you. You can have a real hope now in the world to come, where you will live your ultimate life, a part of this eternal family who this is just a picture of today. We will be dwelling with God without any curse. One of my favourite films or film series is Lord of the Rings. And my favourite scene from those films is in the second one, The Two Towers. You see, Frodo and Sam, they've been on this long journey and they've seen this horrible battle happen in Osgiliath. And Frodo says, "I can't do this, Sam." Well, Sam sympathises with Frodo and he says this: "It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. This darkness will pass. This suffering is going to end. This longing that we all have in our heart, it's going to be satisfied. Brothers and sisters, let's keep going. Let's persevere in living for Jesus. Let's persevere in loving one another as an eternal family. As we look forward to the day where we will stand together as an eternal family, dwelling in the light of God, with Jesus who has defeated death for us. Let's spend some time now to respond to God in our hearts. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Lord God, we thank you so much for what you have promised to us. We thank you for the hope that you have given to us. We thank you that it's a hope that will not disappoint. Lord, forgive us when we long for things other than you. Help us to long for you only. Help us to live our lives for you. And help us to look forward to that day where we will stand together as an eternal family with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.